And I need to find shelter before it starts to rain. So I come and run to you, Lord. You're the only place to go. Where unfailing love surrounds me when I need it most. You're my hiding place, safe in your embrace. I'm protected from the storm that rages. When the waters rise and I run to hide, Lord, in you I find my hiding place. I'm not asking you to take away my troubles, Lord, 'cause it's through the stormy weather I'll learn to trust you more. So I thank you for the promise that I have come to know. Your unfailing love surrounds me when I need it most. You're my hiding place, safe in your embrace. I protect you may be found, 'cause you're the only refuge when the rain comes pouring down. You're my hiding place, safe in your embrace. I'm protected from the storm that rages. When the waters rise and I run to hide, the Lord is
please open our Bibles to Matthew chapter 11. For the title of this today, A Place for God to Rest. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 through 30. Jesus saying, Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden was light. This is my words. Lord, we just want to tell you that we love you this morning. You have afforded us another opportunity, Lord, to come to your house. Lord, to be with those of like precious faith that we believe that we will walk through eternity with. And Lord, it's a blessing to be here today. We just want to surrender our hearts and our lives to you, Lord, to ask God that you come this morning and speak to us from your word. Lord, I do not pretend or act like I am able to break this word to the hearts of your children. That can only be done by you. But I do believe, Lord, that you send gifts among your church. And Lord, it is my desire just to get myself out of the way this morning so that the gift that you put in my life would work to help your children, those that are gathered here today. Yes. We ask, God, that you would speak to every heart. Lord, that you would drive back every enemy of unbelief. Yes. Lord, allow each one of us to sit in your presence, not in the presence of one another and men so much, Lord, but into your presence, Lord, that you can speak to us. We love you, Lord, and we give this time and this opportunity into your hands now. I ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And you may be seated. Amen. A place for God to rest. Amen. I may love the Lord this morning.
Amen.
Looks like fall has finally got here. Nice. The temperatures are beginning to cool off now, and so that is good. You know, we can all identify with what it's like to be tired, right? We all know what that is. We know what causes us to be tired. Okay. We get out and we work and we do things, and it's not just labor that makes you tired, but just time. Mm-hmm. You can wake up someday and sit around the house and do nothing, and you're going to be tired at the end of the day. Okay. So it's not just labor, but it's just there's a cycle. This is a result of the fall of man, right. that just because of the fall, we're in this situation where the cycle just brings it around where we get tired. We labor. We do different things. Sometimes you work harder, they can make you tired quicker. And so you realize that it's your body's, you're tearing down, you're degrading things. And so you can be tired in many different ways. You'd be tired, we use the word, like the scripture said, weary, heavy laden, cares of life. You can be physically tired. You can be spiritually tired. You can be mentally tired. You can even be financially tired, right? And they are all of those things are a result of activities and things that go on that cause that, and just the cycles of redemption that has to take place. And God's answer to being tired is rest. We know that Christianity, that I think as I heard Brother Daniel praying there a while ago, it's our Christian experience is based upon rest. We believe what he has said, we believe his word, and we go with it. Even if we don't understand it,
right.
We go with it. We believe it. And by doing that, we enter into rest. So rest is where you cease from the labors and the toils and the cares and the things. They're opposite of one another. You cannot rest while you're working.
Right?
You have to cease from one to enter into the other. Right. Their faith versus works. You can try to please God through works, or you can stop trying and just believe his word.
Yeah,
right? And then he'll entering into that rest will take care of it. It'll erase the effects of all the things you did wrong trying to work by entering into rest.
Yeah. Right.
And so rest is where you are repaired, you are healed, you are rejuvenated, right? So that's God's answer, is to enter into rest. And no matter how rest, you may rest really well and get up and you're fully rejuvenated, but no matter how much that is, you're going to have to come back, and the cycle will just bring you back again where you're going to need it again. You're going to get tired. You need this continual going back to this experience of rest. And Jesus said, "Come to me, all ye that labor are heavy laden, and I will give you rest."
Amen.
I'll give you rest for your souls.
Right.
Amen. I think that's what this world needs today. Mm-hmm. Amen. And so Jesus said that to take of him, learn of him. He's meek and lowly. He said his yoke is easy and his burden is light. Amen. You know, the yoke is the thing that you put on that ties you to the load or to the work that you got to do.
Yes.
And he said his yoke is easy.
Right.
It's not uncomfortable. It's easy to have that yoke. It's easy. I know that when you're Christians that you got a bullseye on your back. Mm-hmm. We understand that. But Jesus is telling us, if we're seeing it wrong, then we're seeing it wrong. But if we see it right, we're going to see what he's saying here, that his yoke is easy.
Right.
Yeah. Right?
Right.
It's easy when you there's something about life that when you come into what he's talking about here, life becomes a lot easier, even though it's a huge struggle. That's kind of a paradox, right? Life is you got battles every day. But when you get in and you can just come into what Christ is saying here, what the Lord is saying here. He has a yoke. If we put it on, that yoke is easy.
Yeah.
And he says that his burden is light. He did not tell us there would not be a yoke. He did not tell us there would not be a burden.
Right.
But he did say his yoke would be easy and his burden would be light.
Yeah.
And so I tell you that if things are struggling and you don't feel like your experience is this way, then there's a deeper experience that God has for you in these things. And so we're talking about rest here, and so we would not think that God would need rest, right? He is omnipotent, he's omniscient, he's God. He created all things and so forth, and so we wouldn't think that he would need rest, but the Bible tells us that he does.
Yeah.
Right? And so we would just right off the bat, anybody in their right mind would say, well, how could we ever build a place for God to rest in? And if you'll pull up Acts chapter 7, we'll read here, because the scriptures actually says this.
Right?
Right? Rightfully so. So in Acts chapter 7, verse 47, it says, "But Solomon built him a house." Right? We know that. "Howbeit, the Most High dwelleth not in temples made with hands, as saith the prophet, Heaven is my throne, and earth is my footstool. What house will you build me, saith the Lord?
Yes.
Or what is the place of my rest? Hath not my hands made all these things?"
Yes. Yes.
Amen. And so you find out that him being the creator of all things, he created the universe, he created heaven, created earth. You'd think that he could create a place of rest for himself. And he did.
Right.
Right? Right. And what you find out is that man cannot create a place for God to rest. We see there, as he's talking about how that Solomon, we know that all the natural things and how God told him to do that, and how David would get all the materials together that Solomon put together and create the house of God. And yet, that is not where God's resting place is.
No, that's right.
People can spend so much time and money and building big churches and having big things and putting all this effort together, and yet that is not God's resting place. God has made a resting place, and so we're going to talk about that this morning.
Yes.
And so this was in Acts where we were reading this, but let's go to Isaiah chapter 66, and let's see where this scripture was being quoted from. Let's see what he says here. And so he says, "Thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you build unto me, and where is the place of my rest?" And God is asking that question. Now, he's going to answer it, okay? For all these things hath my hand made, and all those things have been, saith the Lord. But now here's where he can rest. But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and that trembleth at my word. Amen. So God is telling us, and you can leave that scripture up there, and I'll get to it for just a moment there. God is telling us here, hey, I've made all these things, and what are you going to do? What do you think? And this is the thing that man does. Man thinks, well, we'll build a system or a church system or a belief system that we can worship God in, and that God will find rest in that. And how dare we do that? Because man can't do that. Man cannot build a place of rest for God. He can't do that. As we see the scriptures here, God says, I've done all these things. And even what he had put in place back there in the Old Testament, to sacrifice and to burn incense and the different things like that. You look at all that and say, well, he told us to do that. But we understand, and the prophet brought this out really well, is that, you know, you can go through motions, you can go through all the literal, physical things in serving God and not have him in your heart.
Right?
That a man can, you know, they could come and they could burn the sacrifices, or they could come, or everybody bring their lamb and they would cut its throat and all that. And at first they were very sincere, but after a while it became just a common thing. And they're like, well, I'll go get my lamb, take it down to the priest today, you know, and he'll... And so, as the scriptures tell us, and the prophet brought it out, that kind of worship becomes a stench in the nostrils of God.
Right?
Because, yeah, those things are good if they're from the heart, if there's sincerity in it.
Right.
And so you find out here, he's speaking of this, that I've built all these things, and you've built the things here, and you're trying all this, but what kind of house is that for me to live in? The house that I want to live in is a man that repents. And so if you're worshiping God under those old systems and without your heart,
this
is what he described is, you know, we know that they were supposed to kill oxen, right? But he says if your heart's not in it, then killing an ox would be the same thing as if you killed a man. It would be offensive to God, right? It'd be like you killing a man. He that sacrificed the lamb as if he cut off a dog's neck. Or he that offered an oblation as if he offered swine's blood. He that burneth incense as if he blessed an idol.
Yeah.
Yea, they have chosen their own ways. Their soul delighteth in their abominations. So he's telling you that the place of his rest is going to be in a believing heart, in a heart that trembleth at his word. And so we find ourselves in a religious system. We go to church. We pay our tithes. We do this. We do that. Go to every church function. But if our heart's not right and not in it, it's offensive to God.
Right.
Amen. But if your heart is in it, then you are a place for God to rest. Amen. So that's the place where he can rest. Not in, and if we go back, I don't know if we read it there a while ago, but in Acts, he goes on to say, ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in hearts and ears.
Yeah.
Right? Where is the place of my rest? He says, ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you do always resist the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
Because Holy Ghost is rest.
Yeah.
Right? Sabbath is rest.
Right.
Holy Ghost is our Sabbath. Right. Amen. And so he's saying that. And so God does not find rest in stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and in ears.
Yeah. Right.
Now think about those things. To be uncircumcised in heart. We know that circumcision is to cut away the desires of the flesh and the things of the world. And so people who are stiff-necked, they're fixed in their ways. They can't see the flexibility of God's program. This is the way it is, and this is our denomination, and this is our belief system.
Right.
They're stiff-necked. Look at what the word's saying, right?
Yeah.
And so if we want to make sure we're not like that,
right?
They're stiff-necked, and he says uncircumcised in their heart. In other words, their heart, they still have the desires of worldly things in their heart, And also in their ears, to listen and to believe and bring in things that's contrary to God's word. So he cannot rest in those things, and So there in the book of Acts, he's saying, hey, you do always resist the Holy Ghost, because when you come into a life of the Holy Spirit, then that is a place where God can rest. How dare we try to make some fictitious or some false thing, thinking that God enjoys it. Remember how the prophet said that idolatry, that people would create an image of what they believe their God looked like, and they would worship this. And he said, I don't doubt that they do, you know, that at some point they believe that God would actually speak to them out of this image that they made. God said, don't you make any graven images. Don't you try to pattern something, and you know that, and that's what denomination is. That's what we can do in our own walk. If we're not careful, we find ourselves in a situation where we're going through all the motions, but in our own heart, in our ears, our heart's not there. And so we know that that's, he's just speaking of a true experience here with God. So everything in the natural, everything has a nature about it, natural nature about it. And so natural, inherent nature of something, just characteristics of itself, like animals, you know, dogs bark, that's an inherent nature, that's the character of a dog. Pigs wallow in the mud, birds fly, right? Yeah. Everything has a nature about it. Everything, the way God made it, is just natural, acts a certain way, does a certain thing. And so we know that the animal life, you know, they live and they eat and do the things they do, and they mate the way God made them to, all the lives that they live. And as they live and they do those things, they're not immoral doing those things. And when I'm speaking of this, you know, the animals, they don't, and maybe in their realm they do, but they don't have marriage ceremonies, they don't have covenants, they don't have, you know, a male deer mates with certain, you know, and he goes to the next one, the next, whatever, and he's not immoral doing that, because that's just their nature, natural nature, right? So animals do that, and they mate through a physical coming together, and so they're just, that's natural. That's their natural state to do that. Dogs, when it comes time to mate, they seek out a dog, right? When a horse wants to mate, they seek out a horse, right? And so, however, that's the animal kingdom, but man was made different. Man was made with a soul, with a conscience, with a moral compass, right? Because we are made in the image of God. The scriptures does not say the animals were made in the image of God. Nothing else was made. Man is the only one who's made in the image of God. So there's characteristics about us that expresses God. And so God put us in a situation, and all this is not news to you. God put us into a different standard as the image of God, that we were not to procreate like the animals do.
Right.
We were to be like God. It was to be spoken word. And so we know that's what the fall in the garden pointed to, what happened there. And so that's the thing that made us, would make us, that made us God on the earth. You know, the animals, I think that the animals, they all knew that Adam was like their God on earth, right? We know that. And so that's what would make us, as the scripture said, to be fruitful, multiply, subdue it, subdue the earth. That's what would put us in that position, because we, as sons and daughters of God here on earth, in the image of God and characteristics of God, had a higher life to us than what the rest had. Right. And whereas all the rest of them would procreate by coming together naturally, we were not.
Right.
We were not to.
Right.
That's right. We were not to do that.
Right.
And so I've often thought, you know, the animals could be saying, when they're out there and they're talking, said, oh, there's our master Adam and his wife Eve. He says, you know what? You know how we come together. We multiply the way we do. They don't have to. They don't have to do it like we do. They just speak,
right,
and more children come. Right?
Right?
See, and so they would go, oh, really? Oh, master, you can worship somebody higher. Right? So we as humans on earth, we were called in the image of God, and this was what was given to us. And of course, we know through the fall, we fell from that. And so, but in our flesh, we're animal. Just in our flesh, we're animal, just like the animals do.
Right.
And so if there's not something in us to govern our flesh, which there is, we were given a higher moral calling, representing as the image of God. And so, but without that, we act just like the animals do.
Right?
Right? We have a beast nature, just like they do.
Right.
But because we are made in the image of God, we were not called to live that way. We were called to live higher, like God would. Amen. And so, we are flesh in our flesh and like that, but God put a soul in us, a moral compass within us, and that's what makes the difference.
Right.
And so, for us to live like they do would be sin. Mm-hmm. Sinful. Whatsoever is not of faith is works. You thought I was going to, I'm not trying to pervert. Whatever is not of faith is sin. Whatsoever is not of belief is works.
Right.
Right? So the animals, they have to work, physically come together to procreate and all that, but not us.
No.
Right? Right. I'm talking about before the fall. Not in the kingdom of God. It was to be by spoken word, by faith, by the nature of God. So because of the fall, then God does permit us to physically procreate like the rest of the animals do under the covenant of marriage and so forth. But from the beginning, it was not so. From the beginning, that's not the way it was.
Right.
And it won't be in the end.
That's right.
It won't be in the end. Jesus said that we will be like the angels. Now, this conversation came up the other night at the house there where we was fellowshipping and about angels. And how in the Bible that angels were not, I think that something was said about angels not being depicted as male or female. Well, they actually are depicted as male.
Right.
Right? Not females, but they are males.
Yeah.
And so, but then Jesus said, well, in the resurrection, when they were talking about, well, who, the man that had, the woman had seven brothers, and they all died and she had no children, said in the resurrection, well, which one of those seven men are going to be your husband? And Jesus said, you do err, not knowing the scriptures or the power of God. In that resurrection, you'll be like the angels. Now, that's not saying that in that resurrection, there won't be male and female features.
Right.
That's not what it's saying.
No.
But what it's saying is you're not gonna be like the husband, the seven husbands, the one wife, coming together physically. And so here's what the prophet told us. He said that we will have the form, but there can never be sin there.
Right.
So we'll have the form. There will look like males. It will look like females because it will be male and female. But there, something's happened, and now there can be no sin. And so the thing that we fell from and down into, what we fell to, is going to be taken away, and we're going to be back the way
it
should have been in the first place.
Right.
Right? God restoring us back to that kingdom.
Amen.
And so, Jesus said we'd be like those angels and so forth. And thank God there could never be sin there.
Right.
And so, just remember that whatever is going to be there is going to be greater than this. Mm-hmm. Right?
Right.
Amen. So, I'm showing here that everything has a nature and what they're called to. And animals have, so forth. It's not a morality for them to live the way they do, but it would be for us if we did. And so,
right. When
you see someone or something that begins to act out of that nature, we have a natural nature. Mm-hmm. It's natural for parents immediately when a child is born to love that child and give their lives to that child. That's natural.
Right.
When you see something come along where they're not doing that, right? This is what I'm talking about.
Right.
When they begin to act out of their nature, something's going on. And you have to ask, so what's going on there? They're not acting like they would normally in their natural nature.
Okay.
And so you have to ask yourself, what's going on? And so when you see the serpent in the garden, when you see the serpent begin to want to go after Eve, that was out of his natural, because his natural character would be to go after Miss Serpent.
Right.
So now he's going after Eve. Then you'll know something has happened. And so when Balaam was going along and the ass turned around and began to talk to him out of a man's voice, that's out of its nature. It's beyond.
Yeah.
And what I want you to realize as we're talking about this morning, I want you to realize what we're getting to here in just a moment is there's an anointing that comes on. And what I want to show you is when an anointing comes upon a person or a being, an animal, whatever, and it causes them to act out of their nature, they begin to act something different than what they are, then there are powers and things that are released there that just wouldn't be there otherwise.
Right.
And this goes both in a positive direction and a negative direction.
Yes.
So when that ass was talking in the voice of a man, then you know that's not normal. Something happened there that caused that, and we know that. So when Jesus met the man that was in the tombs there and cast the devils out, and those devils went into the swine. Well, the swine, the scripture said, they ran down a steep place, they jumped off in the water, and they drowned. They perished.
Right.
That's not normal.
No.
Right? That is out of nature. So what happened there? When you look at those things like that and you realize that there was an anointing, there was a spirit, there was something came on them that caused them to do that. There was a spirit that came on that serpent to make him want to go after Eve.
Right.
Right? There was something that happened to that mule to make him begin to speak like a man.
Right?
Is this our Bible I'm talking about?
Yeah. Right.
We're talking about God. We're talking about supernatural. We're talking about demons and all these things. Yeah. It's not fairy tales, right?
No.
Something happened to those pigs to make them destroy themselves, to go and commit suicide, if you want to call it that.
Right.
And what it was we know the scriptures tell us that these evil spirits that was in this man, hey, the man was not even acting in normal nature.
Right.
Men normally don't want to live in a tomb where a bunch of dead people are.
Right.
And we know it was evil spirits, right?
Right.
Evil spirits had come upon that man and made him, was causing him to live a different nature than what he should be. And notice where it was taking him. It was taking him to where he was associated with death.
Right.
Right? But also notice that he had strength. He had people were afraid to even come near him because he had a strength beyond normal.
Right.
Right?
Yep.
So there's that breaking into not just an anointing, but breaking into something else greater, the strength. And so when this anointing comes in, like I said, it works in both ways.
Right.
So you see something happen there. So when the serpent anointed Eve, when Satan anointed the serpent to go after Eve, or when that man was dwelling there in the tombs, what about Judas? When the scripture said, look what he had been involved in.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Look what he had seen. Look what was entrusted him.
Yeah. Yes.
I mean, he was, and then all of a sudden something came on him and he moved totally out of character. Mm-hmm. And the scripture said, when Satan entered into him.
Right.
So again, there an anointing came upon him and caused him to do things that was irreversible.
Yes.
Amen.
Right?
Yep.
And so we read in the book of Acts where the early church is now moving and the casting out devils and all these things, and there were seven sons of Sceva decided they wanted to cast out some devils out of somebody, out of a man. And, of course, these seven sons, they didn't have a real experience with God.
Right.
Right? And so when they encountered this man that was demon-possessed, you can't talk about the Lord the way you need to if you don't know him. Mm-hmm. Right? And they're there, and they're like, we adjure you by the Jesus that Paul preaches.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And so they were going to try and do God's work, but they didn't have the anointing. Right, and so they went to that, and the scripture said that devil speaking out of that man, he says, Jesus, I know, and Paul, I know, but who are you?
Yeah, right.
Right?
Right.
I'm speaking of spiritual anointings, and I'm speaking of the things that go on, and I'm speaking of what we must have to navigate through this world as Christians, right? And so the scripture said that though that man leaped on them seven, there was one man leaped on seven guys, and he tore them up, and they fled out of that house naked and wounded. One man, anointed of a devil, put seven men who didn't have the Holy Ghost to flight, naked and wounded. Could you imagine the brawl that took place in that place? You see, maybe in the past, seeing movies with ballroom fights or something like that. Can you imagine what happened in that room? Before it was over with, those guys wanted to get out of there. Right? So you know that something came on that man that caused him to be able to do that. And it was an anointing, a spiritual anointing. We can also look in the scriptures on the positive side and say, what was it that came upon Samson that allowed him to do the things he did? Allowed him to go and take the gate off of the city, put it on his back, and pack it up and up a mountain. And I forget what it was the other day, how many miles away it was, to take the enemy's gate and just go away with it. I like that story because the scripture says with revelation, right? With revelation, the gates of hell cannot prevail against it. See, the gates of hell want to hold you in.
Right.
But God, through revelation, through the blood of Jesus Christ, through revelation, has ripped that gate off. Right? Has ripped that gate off, and gates of hell cannot hold you. You can walk right out of there just any time you want to. Right? When you have revelation, you walk right through this kingdom, this world, and no matter what Satan says or does, he cannot hold you.
That's right.
I want you to think about that.
Hallelujah.
I want you to think about it. As you're struggling, you're having things like that, get connected with God the right way, and Satan cannot hold you.
That's right.
He cannot keep you in a place of tiredness, a place where you're wore out and you're just heavy burden.
Right.
You can go to God and you can find that secret hiding place Brother Tim sung about. You can find that. And those things have to leave you.
Yeah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
We know that. We believe it.
Amen.
So when Samson took that, he took that gate and he just pulled it off there. And the enemy was just, because, you know, a city, if you don't have a good gate, you're in trouble.
Right.
Matter of fact, the gate was the most vulnerable thing because you got to have a gate. You got to be able to come in and go out. But you got to be careful what you let come in and what comes in and goes out.
Right?
Our lives are the same way. We have gates in our lives. And our gate must be carefully taken care of so that you're careful what you let in and what goes out.
Yeah.
Right? And so Satan wants to take your gate.
Right.
He wants to take your gate and rip it off so you have no way to keep him from coming in. Mm-hmm. Amen. It's not rocket science. It's just natural. I mean, if we were out on the battlefields and we were, you know, we had cities and stuff, it makes sense. Like, look, guys, we've got to get through that gate. That's the weak spot. We've got to figure out a way.
Yep.
And that's what Satan does to us.
Right.
It's like, listen, we know there's weak spots in their lives. We know that. We know, and we've got to work and trick and lie and cheat and everything else and get into the place where we can find that weak spot and we can get in there and destroy that, and then we've got them. That's the way it is in our lives. Right? Well, God's done the same thing to the enemy. Make it to where Satan can't hold you. So when Samson did those things there, we know his story, what he got away from and how the Lord brought him back there at the end. What about in the story we read in the book where Elijah outran Ahab's chariot? See, a spiritual anointing came upon Elijah, and when it was time to rain, and he took off and he took running, and the scripture said he got to the gates of Jezreel, I think it was, before Ahab's chariot. Ahab had the king. You know he had a good chariot, and you know he had the fastest horses. But the hand of the Lord come upon Elijah, and Elijah ran and was able to get there before Ahab was.
Right.
Amen?
Yep.
What happened to him was because it was an anointing come upon on him and caused him to act out and be able to act out of character of just a normal man to do those things.
Amen.
So We know that when Peter walked on water, we said, well, that was the Lord there. But yet, Peter walked on water. Something happened there.
Right?
And so, or Peter's shadow just walking by.
Yep.
His shadow falling on people.
Right.
Man, that's not normal.
Right.
I've walked by many people, my shadow cast on, and they never jumped up and went to be healed.
Yep.
Same way with you.
Right.
So you understand, we've got to realize we are in spiritual battles here. This that's
right.
going on is not, if you look at things and you just assess it in the natural, you're making a big mistake.
Right.
There are spirits behind the scene. There's battles going on behind the scene.
That's right.
And that's what you've got to realize. And you got to use the scriptures and know the devices of the enemy.
That's right?
Right. And as the prophet said, you got to study your enemy.
Yeah. Right.
Study him. I think it's interesting that Brother Branham for a while was a boxer, because then he could bring that in and tell you that you study your enemy, and you know every boxer has a weak spot.
Right?
Brother Daniel probably knows this. I never did a whole lot of boxing. The only two times I did, I got whooped, and that's why I didn't do it anymore.
Yeah.
But it was a well-seasoned to other people that I was put against. And so it was kind of unfair. But he was, you know, he was a boxer, and so he could tell you, you've got to study your enemy, you've got to watch him,
right.
And you'll learn his weak spots. And then you try to do moves to get him to uncover that weak spot.
Right.
And when he does, that's when you get him.
Right.
Well, Satan does the same thing to you.
Sure.
So the Lord wants us to study our enemy. Hey, how does he work? How does he come at me?
Yep.
How's he trying to trick me? And you got to study that. You can't just walk through life. You can't just, I'm just going to go up there and fight this guy in a body. You know, you're going to get whooped. You have got to do the homework. You have got to engage with your enemy with the appropriate skills and appropriate method to exploit his weaknesses and destroy him. Because that's what he's trying to do to you.
Right.
Amen. You know, modern warfare is tremendous. Mm-hmm. The things the stuff they have and the abilities that they can do, that we can fly in over there and do the things that we did and they didn't even know we were there.
Right?
It's all warfare. So, you know, there's things going on, spirits. And so the truth is, the truth of the whole thing this morning I'm speaking of is that we are a resting place for spirits.
Yeah.
Both good and bad.
Right.
We would be very foolish for us to not realize that every day when you get up, that today, tomorrow is opportunities. You are going to be anointed with something.
Yes.
No doubt about it. And when you're anointed with that something, you're going to express actions of what that something is.
Yep. Yeah.
Now, it can be the Holy Spirit, or it can be something contrary to it. Those spirits need a place of rest. God needs a place of rest. Demons needs a place of rest.
Yeah.
That's what the Bible tells us.
Yeah.
So, God needs a place of faith.
Amen.
He can dwell in a heart of faith.
Right.
Right?
Right.
Satan cannot dwell in a heart of faith.
Right. That's right.
But he can dwell and seeks out a heart of doubt.
Yeah. Yeah.
One of doubt, one of fear. Right? Because they go together. Right?
Right.
Faith and love, which casteth out fear.
Right.
Right? Because they're opposites.
Right.
So you know that these spirits, we are resting places for spirits.
Amen.
So, the spirit of faith in me, this may sound interesting or whatever, but I believe the word of God. Okay?
Amen.
And so God can find a resting place in me because I believe. And because I believe, it becomes a resting place for me.
Right.
It becomes that hiding place.
Yeah,
I really love the
right.
way God speaks to people's hearts to sing songs and things. And so,
amen.
So but what I want to show you here is when that spirit comes in me because I believe, and is at rest and so forth. But at the same time, that spirit in me now becomes unrestful when I see loved ones who don't believe.
Right?
Right? Yeah. I'm happy in the Lord, but yet I'm burdened. Right? And I'm telling you, it's just a spiritual warfare that's going on, because that spirit that wanted me to believe and is now finds a place to rest in me, now that same spirit wants to find a resting place in you. And so if I have that spirit upon me and you're not a believer, then I'm going to feel that spirit that's on me and his concern about you not being a believer. And so you can understand that the spirit that is upon me, being the Holy Spirit, is an expansionist. He wants to expand his kingdom. God wants to multiply his children. But then if that spirit is a spirit of unbelief to deny God's word, it's the same way that spirit comes upon me, right? If it came upon me and made me an unbeliever, now that spirit is uncomfortable. And there's a certain amount of rest it can't have because it wants others to be disbelievers also.
Right.
So that spirit would come upon me, and now it wants me to try and influence others to be unbelievers, just like the Holy Spirit wants to inspire me to try and influence others to accept and to believe. It's spiritual warfare.
Right.
Amen. And so what we know is God's family, and then there's another family. We know that the serpent has a seed.
Right?
We're not going to sit here and try to say who is and who isn't. We just know that in this world, there's two family lines.
Right?
Yeah. And so one of them acts out the family of God, but the other acts out the family of Lucifer. And there are times when people who are really children of God, because we come to this world lost, for a while, we're acting out and influenced by things of the wrong family. But through the preaching of the word, God causes us to believe and receive his word, and now he moves us in, and that puts us right in action of the family we really belong to.
Right?
There was a time when I didn't have a desire for God, but I was a son of God back there. Like, I just didn't know it, and I wasn't acting like it. Right? But through the preaching of the gospel, now I'm acting, hopefully, in that direction. I'm acting in that direction. I say hopefully. I say that because I want to be better.
Sure.
You understand? We can all say that.
Yeah.
Amen? So, the truth is, we're packing spirits.
Right.
We take them to work. We bring them home. Cities have spirits. Homes have spirits. Churches have spirits, right? We hope it. We want it to be the Holy Spirit.
Right.
I have no desire for you to have my spirit. I have no desire for you to have Brother Daniel's spirit, right? Or one another's spirit.
Right.
I want every one of you to be unique and individual in the Lord with the Holy Spirit.
Right?
As a family of God.
Right.
But the truth is, we are packing spirits. We are a dwelling place for spirits. Amen. So, you know, the scripture tells us you will know them by their fruits.
Right.
Because you'll bear fruits according to the spirit that's motivating you.
Right?
So
nothing I've said today is rocket science. It just, I know you've heard these things, but this is the direction the Lord put on my heart to go, so we're doing it. So, you know them by their fruits. And so, when these anointings or spirits come upon people, it becomes a filter. A filter that causes of what you can hear and what you don't hear. And what you say and you don't say. It becomes a filter. It permits. And so you understand that in the kingdom of Satan, by no means does he want you speaking things that would cause faith.
Right?
So that spirit creates a filter automatically that will not let you speak on godly things. And you don't want to hear godly things.
Uh-huh.
Right? It's a filter. You know, filters work both ways.
Right?
So, I think it's interesting that Brother Branham preached about a thinking man's filter. He talked about the whole thing. There's filters. These spiritual influences that come upon people, they cause you to have a filtered effect upon you, where you can accept or reject. And so when you have the Holy Spirit upon you, now when you hear the Word of God preached, you can receive it. You catch it. You see it. You understand it. It does something for you. But if you have the wrong spirit upon you, when that's preached, you can't. You can't. You just can't see it.
Yeah.
It just doesn't speak to you.
Right?
Or vice versa.
Right.
And so it becomes a filter. And I can tell you just in natural world science terms or whatever, in electronics, we have filters. You have a station that's 50 miles away that you want to listen to on the radio, and it's kind of a weak signal or whatever, but you got this other station that's a half a mile from your house, and he's blasting out 100,000 watts, and you can't listen to nothing because he's blaring. You can design a filter, electronic filter, that will absolutely snuff him out so you can listen to something else without troubles.
Right.
Now, natural type spiritual.
Yeah.
Right? These natural things just type spiritual. So before there could be a filter in the natural, there was filters in the spiritual.
Right?
And so to have the right filter to tune you into the right thing, it'll reject the things that are contrary to the Word of God, and it's kind of interesting the way it works. When it rejects the things that are contrary, it automatically amplifies and brings in the things that are right.
That's right.
They can design antennas to do the same thing. Just an antenna acting with a filter that they call it gain. It can reach out and grab something real far away and reject things closer that's even more powerful.
Right.
Yeah.
So I'm just telling you that these things, these anointings that come, they cause you to be able to see and perceive and express things that are in the channel of whether it's of God or it's not of God. We're saying these things because we need to recognize these things dynamically in our lives every day. We need to check ourselves every day. We need to ask ourselves when we're at work and somebody comes and a situation is a little bit. We need to ask ourselves, how am I responding here? What is my response? Right? They have this thing today. What would Jesus do? Right? WWJD. Let me ask you a question. What would Jesus do? Right.
Amen.
What would he do? That's just a cliche for them. But I believe there's some people on the face of the earth that can really catch this and understand that through the filters of God, what would he do? He would act through the filter of God's word and only express what is. You know, I think I said here a while back, what does it mean to be full of the Holy Ghost? And I think, I don't know who I was talking to, maybe brothers last week, somebody, maybe it was people at work, I don't know. I'm almost 60 years old, I don't remember every conversation I had and who it was with, so, you know. But I seen an example one time, where a teacher had a container there, and I think you could see in the container, and he took a bunch of gravel and he poured in there, filled it up, and he said, is it full? And all the students are like, yeah, it's full. He pulls out a thing of sand, shakes it in that, and they, you know, and now, oh, they're like, well, it wasn't full, and they're like, but now it is. No, it's not. And then he pulls out water, and he pours water down in there, right? And then it was full. And so when we talk about being full of the Holy Ghost, I look at it from a standpoint of a container. What's in there? And when a situation comes up at work that's not right, or in your family, or whatever it is, and you're required to respond, what can come out of a vessel that's full of the Holy Ghost? The only thing that can come out in that moment is the Spirit of God and the Word of God. So when the Scriptures talk about, oh, they were filled with the Holy Ghost, and they begin to speak in tongues or to begin to do whatever, what that's telling you is that the Holy Spirit had total, complete feeling control of their vessel, and there wasn't anything they could do but act out what the Holy Ghost said do at that moment.
That's right.
That's to be full of the Holy Ghost. 10 minutes later, maybe they're not full of the Holy Ghost. Maybe they're like, you know. But you understand, these anointings, the Holy Spirit comes and, you know, and so, but we need to be very conscious of our everyday walk, that that this is the battleground, and we are in this battle, and these things
right.
are going on, whether you like it or not.
Right.
We have the opportunity today to either have to pack the Holy Spirit or to pack another spirit.
Right.
I know as Christians, being the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. Amen. But that doesn't mean you can't get the wrong thing on you.
Right?
It won't stay on you. It can't stay on you.
No, that's right.
Right? So we got to be careful.
Amen.
Amen. Be careful what we do. Amen. Natural, timing, spiritual. Right, back to the filters there a little while ago. We have in those filters, you can design band pass. You can look it up. Band pass, band reject, low pass, high pass. You can custom make it to absolutely permit what you want and not anything else. Amen.
Right.
And so that's what the Spirit has become to us. The Holy Spirit can make us really tuned in to the things of God.
Amen.
The Bible tells us that when a spirit goes out of a man, that spirit, when it's driven out, goes out. The Bible says he walks through dry places. Right. Talking about an evil spirit. Walks through dry places. I'll say it this way, desert places. This is an Eastern book written by back then, and it was not, the desert was not a place that you could rest.
Right.
You might get underneath a shade tree or a rock or whatever, but it just wasn't restful. So that's terminology here. When these spirits are driven out, they go through dry places, and they seek rest.
Yeah.
And sometimes they're not finding it. And the scripture, now Jesus told us for some reason, And so Jesus said, and then he goes out and he doesn't find, what is he saying? This spirit has been driven out of a man's life. And it goes out, and that spirit did not die. That spirit did not change. That spirit, maybe it's a spirit of alcohol or drugs or homosexuality or whatever it is, lust. And he's driven out. He didn't change. He's, you know, but he's not at rest now.
Right.
And he's got to find a place that can believe him, which would be doubt for Christianity, but a place to where he can dwell. It's got to be a habitat that he can live in.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
See, we have to realize these spirits have habitats that they can live in. And when you begin to dabble in that habitat, you're inviting them to come.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
They come and live in that habitat.
Yes, that's right.
That's why the Word of God is there to protect you and to keep you from doing things and being involved in things that can invite those spirits. And,
yes.
and we're doing wrong when we don't think that this is what's going on, because this is exactly what goes on.
That's right.
Right?
Right.
This devil goes out into dry places, and he's desiring a place that someone can believe him enough that he can, that that person will act out the alcoholism or act out homosexuality or whatever it is. That spirit wants to get up. And when he finds a vessel that'll do that, now he's at rest. Why? Because now he's there and it's all acting out. See these spirits, even the Holy Spirit, not happy until someone is acting out what he is.
Well, that's right.
Right. Yeah?
Yep.
So he's seeking to find a place, and next thing you know, the scripture said, Jesus speaking here, and so I believe it's true, as anything else in the Bible, that these spirits, they would come back, and so he would say, I'll go back to where I come from. And he goes back and he finds that house that he was once in. He finds it empty, swept, and garnished. It's all cleaned up. He was driven out, all cleaned up. Everything's good to go. But he finds it empty. And there's the problem. Right? And so when it's empty, he can come back. And I'm just using common sense here. He's like, wow. I can come back, but wait a minute. I've been cast out of here once. I ain't strong enough. I'll get me some buddies.
Yeah.
I'll get me some buddies. And the scripture said that he'll bring out seven others worse.
Yeah.
Right? Seven others worse. What's he doing? See, when Brother Brown would be there and a person in line and have a spirit upon them of cancer or whatever, And he could see in that realm, and that spirit would be crying out to somebody else in the audience that had the same spirit, because that spirit was looking, as he said, trying to accumulate unbelief so that this person would disbelieve and not get their healing from cancer. That demon would call out, trying to get help of unbelief, help of unbelief. See, these things are going on in the background, and they affect whether you believe or not. They affect what your thinking is. They're a filter, right? And so he'd be calling out, trying to build up that unbelief, trying to get some help.
Yes.
So when the spirit would go back into this man, he would take seven others back, and the case of that person when it's over with is worse.
Right.
And I want to ask you, have you seen that?
Yes.
Have you seen people who refuse to repent? They got some little something comes up in their life. They won't listen to preaching. They won't listen to mom and dad or friends or whatever.
Yes.
And they just will not do it. And the next thing you know, that person's got four or five other different things that's wrong.
Right.
It's spiritual warfare.
This is
what's going on.
That's right.
Right? And we don't want to be stupid about this. We realize this is what's happening. When you have a spouse or a daughter or a son or a friend or whatever, and you see that going on, you know exactly what it is. That's spiritual warfare. Satan has attacked them, and he's trying to bring in more. So when maybe the person started out and they would just lie about something, right? Next thing you know, he comes back, and now not only they lie, they'll steal.
Yeah.
Right? Now they'll lust, commit adultery.
Right.
Right? So that's what these things do. And they'll bring things back in. And next thing you know, they're a whole lot worse.
Right.
And so they just attract the other more and more. Isn't it interesting how gambling, what other spirits beside gambling seem to hang around that same thing? Mm-hmm. Well, drinking, smoking, adultery.
Exactly.
Right? Men not taking care of their family, spending money on things instead of taking care of their family.
Yep.
Those are all evil spirits.
That's right.
Right? That's the kind of thing. And so people are like, well, what's wrong with gambling? Well, I'll tell you what's wrong with it. Look at all the other spirits that hang around it.
Right.
Because that is an environment, that is a habitat that those things can live in.
That's right.
That means it is a habitat that they can anoint people's lives and people can live out what they are.
Yep.
Right? Amen. So we can see how Satan does that to men. They just won't repent. Next thing you know, they got more habits in their life. And I'll say it this more abuse in their life.
Right.
Abusing themselves, abusing their family, abusing those around them. Sometimes the people that hurt the most is not the person who's anointed with the evil spirits, but it's their loved ones around them.
Yeah.
Right.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. Amen. You know, God has a protection for us. When we stay behind His Word, that is not an environment where they can come.
That's right.
They don't like it.
Right.
Right?
Amen.
They don't want to hear it. They want to get away from it because it's God's Word.
Amen.
Right?
Right.
So, you know, you've heard me say it, I don't like spam. I don't like pickle loaf, liver loaf, bronze wager. That stuff is nasty. I won't eat it. And I don't think I can. I don't think I could. Brother Daniel with sour cream. I think he would die.
Right?
And it's the same way. I'm not going to hang around where that stuff's being served.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? So these spirits, they don't like the Word of God. But so God has given us His Word to hide behind, to protect ourselves. And this is what Eve did. You heard it many times. Eve got out from behind the Word of God, and when she did, she became fair game.
That's right.
And we're no different.
Yep.
All it takes is one word. One word changed.
Yep.
You become fair game. And that guy will come, and he'll work, and if he'll get others, and it'll grow. And next thing you know, when you believe for a while, and next thing you know, you totally disregard the whole thing. Because Satan, through spiritual warfare, is trying to make you disbelieve. So the Word of God is amen, our safety. So spirits don't drive, don't die. So when the town drunk, the man in the town, he's your town drunk, when he dies, that spirit now is looking for someone else that he can make the town drunk. I know that's, you know, blunt, but that's exactly what it is. Right? So when, you know, people die all the time. Most people aren't Christians. They have spirits on them. And when those people die, those spirits are looking for someone. Next thing you know, this guy was living in adultery, and that he died. Well, now that spirit comes, and he'll find somebody. And next thing you know, if you could just look at it, and say the whole entire city, that spirit, this guy dies, and next thing you know, the next week, somebody else starts committing adultery.
Uh-huh. Right.
That spirit begins to move him, begins to work on him. Right?
Amen.
See what I mean?
Yeah.
Spirits. So, when you know, spirits, we like people of like precious faith. We like people who are for birds of a feather, right? Okay. So a spirit of depression, what kind of friend do you think he's going to pick?
Uh-huh.
Right?
Uh-huh. Exactly.
Someone like him. Uh-huh. Or some exactly. spirit that complements what he has.
That's right.
Right? Well, drinking, smoking, they're buddies. Mm-hmm. Right?
Right.
Lying, cheating, all, you know, it's all because they all have a similar environment.
Right.
As Brother Bram talked about, the creatures of the night, they're of darkness. You turn the light on, they scatter.
That's right.
Because they don't like it, excuse me. They don't like it. So, when people die, what are these spirits? And they seek to find someone else, and they go find someone else. Who do they find? They find somebody who's not behind the word
mm-hmm.
on the matter.
Yes.
That's who they find. And they begin to worry. And that person begins to express more and more of what that spirit is. Mm-hmm. Oh, but thank God, the Holy Spirit casts those out, right? The church has, the church of the living God has the commission to do that.
Right.
To cast Satan out of the places of God. And if you're a child of God, you are predestinated a child of God, that thing can't stay there.
Right.
That's right. And God has a church that can take that thing out of you.
Amen.
Right? Because we've been commissioned to do it. Not that we do it, but we have his commission and he does it through us. Right? And so
right.
he's commissioned us to do that. If you've got those things hounding you and hindering you and hurting you, he has commissioned his church to remove those things
Amen.
From you.
That's right.
And then you've got to, when that happens, then you've got to seek for that to be filled with the right things so that when he tries to come back, because he will try.
Oh, yeah. Right.
He will try.
Right.
If you had a problem with pornography in the past and you get deliverance, he will come. Anybody that's had a problem with it, they will tell you, yes, he's trying to come back.
Right.
Right? And some people could probably tell you, yeah, he tried to come back, and I gave in, and next thing you know, I was in trouble again, and God had to come, you know. But what you got to realize is that every one of us have places in our life. Every one of us have places in our life where we have to grow in God to the place that we
right.
finally whip that devil that has whipped us around for so many times. I've told you before about playing, maybe I have, I don't know, playing racquetball. I worked with a guy that was actually an instructor for the University of Arkansas when he was in college. He was good. And I started playing racquetball with a couple of guys at work, and they just absolutely, it was ridiculous. I couldn't even get a point. I might as well just stand there. Right? I started playing with this guy that was an instructor. I didn't know what he was doing, but he had set himself at a certain level was super good to me, and I played, and this went on for about a year or maybe two, I don't know, quite a while, and I played, and I could get points, and finally one day I beat him. And the very next time we went back to play, he switched into another gear, and it was like it all over again. I couldn't even hardly score. He had, you know, as an instructor, he had, you know, this was the performance level he had, and he let me build up until I beat him. And then he showed me that there was another gear he could go into, and I didn't want to play with him no more. So, but what I wanted to tell you was one of the guys I played with at first who mopped the floor with me, I played him about that time. And it was the other way around. I mopped the floor with him. I felt bad. What I'm trying to tell you there is that we all have these things in our lives that you're not going to escape this. There's something somewhere. You've got a punch coming. Something Satan can throw at you, and you've got to learn to grow in God until you whip that thing.
Right.
And then when you stand there that day, you're victorious over that thing.
Right.
Right? That's what you have to do. You fight until you beat it. It might be depression. It might be nervousness. Whatever it might be.
Right.
But take the word of God, and like Brother Daniel's shoulder, look at this. This is my shoulder. Right? Because God heals.
Right.
You know how I did that? Just kept confessing it.
Right.
See?
Right.
Take the word of God and beat down that devil so right. he stops anointing you, stops making you give the wrong expression.
Right.
And so, like I said before, I got that at work. Lord, let me say and do the right thing.
Yeah.
Don't ever let me have to say, I wish I would have said thus and thus.
Right?
Right. That's the target. I want to express. Am I there yet? No, but I want to express every time from the right channel, the right filter
right.
of Amen. The Word of God and the right. Holy Spirit.
Right.
Amen. That's what I want to do.
Yes.
And so, these spirits, Satan likes to fortify himself. He likes to be in hidden places.
Yeah.
He likes to hide.
Right.
He hides in things, in people's lives.
Yeah.
If he can get someone to be living untrue to their marriage vows secretly. Why? Because he can live in an environment. And if this guy's doing what he wants, or this gal, she's doing what she wants and what he wants. And so they can live in that. And so they can hide in those things and live there when they're not being, they're hidden.
Yeah.
Right?
Right?
And so, but one of the best ways to defeat the devil is for it to be exposed. For him to be exposed.
Right.
This is why the scripture tells us that confession is good for the soul.
Right.
Right? But you know how it is when that evil spirit gets upon you and he's got you doing something secretly and there's a seducing something about that, and that's why he's got you doing it and something like that. Well, then you don't want people to know, because then it's going to be exposed. There's secrecy he likes to do. Things you do in secret. Things that you think nobody else knows. It's like these testimonies that I sent the links out the other day. That I think it was Perry Green said, I found out that God knows everything that I do and he can show it to somebody else.
Yeah, that's right.
He sure can.
Right.
Right? He can show it to somebody else.
Right.
He can make you concerned about someone right at the time they're doing something they shouldn't be doing. And you can rise up in concern and say, what's going on? If the Holy Spirit can do that.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
And so we know that. He can warn you. He can say, have somebody saying things that's warning you and not even knowing what they're doing. Mm-hmm. Right? So you understand those things. And so they like to hide in places. And so Jesus said, hey, everything that's hidden is going to be brought out.
Right.
So if you have a hidden agenda in your life, it's going to come out anyway.
Right?
Right? I'd rather it come out while there's grace available than for it to come out later when it's not available.
Right.
Right? So it's going to come out one way or the other.
Right.
This is why the scripture says a child left to himself will bring his mother to shame. That's right. I mean, no, that's the scripture.
Right.
Why? Because if the child is left to himself and without supervision and without the oversight that's there, and parents normally would do this unless they get all off derailed too, and then they're not doing their job. But this child, well then, that's a weak spot. And Satan will come in there, and next thing you know, that child's doing things that mom and dad don't know about.
Yeah.
And that's a place where that devil can hide, and that's a place where the devil can begin to bring more in. And more in, the next thing you know, what has happened to my child?
Right.
Right? Or what has happened to me, if it's you that's done this? Because you allow secret things that's contrary to the Word of God in your life, and you don't confess it. You don't bring it out. The best thing you can do is let that thing out right there with, the scripture said to confess your faults one another. Confess it to somebody that, if it's something really, then it's somebody that, that you trust, that you believe, you know, that a minister or something like that, they can hold that and pray with you and not run through the country with it. You
right.
understand?
Right.
Right?
Right.
But you know you've got hidden things, then that devil's laying right there. Mm-hmm. And as long as you embrace that, he's got a right to stay there.
Right.
You never get free from that until it's exposed. Mm-hmm. Now, we've been so spoiled, I'll say, by this ministry of the prophet, where the prophets say, you're not going to commit suicide, you know, you're not.
Right.
We've spoiled to that, so that's kind of what we want. We would love it if somebody would stand up and, you back there, the highest way is when the word of God is preached, and you hear that word, and you say, that's
right.
the truth, and you submit your life to it, and you confess that thing and get it out there on the basis of God's word. You have hid yourself behind the word. That's Satan. The devil cannot stay there. He has
Amen.
To go. You now have fortified yourself, and he cannot come back with something else.
Right.
Right?
Right.
Unless you've got a place there hidden secretly. Satan can't do nothing with you.
Right.
You know, if he does, if he has that, then he can. But if you don't, you understand. Amen. Satan will ride people right into hell by hiding in secret things in their life that they don't confess.
Right.
Yeah.
This is why repentance. It's real simple. Try it sometime if you haven't. See, God will do something for you.
Amen.
Evil spirits are not your friend.
No.
Right.
And you realize, like I said, seducing spirits, they don't come with a terrible feeling. They come with a seducing feeling.
Right.
Right.
And so they convince people when they get that filter on them. They think, oh, I'm happy. I'm living a happy life. You're miserable.
Mm-hmm.
You're not happy.
Right.
But you're miserable. But they get you, oh, you know, I'm fine. Now you're underneath that influence. You're looking through that filter and everything's fine. And the world's all wrong and this is the right thing and all that. And so we know that. And so under that influence, you know, then you think, oh, this new movement I'm in, this new thing that I'm going with, this, my life has been transformed. I was in bondage over there, but now I'm free.
Uh-huh.
Right? You've heard it.
Uh-huh.
And what that person is deceived.
Right.
So let me use the example of like, well, you know, ain't nothing wrong with women cutting her hair. We can cut her hair all we want, right? The Word of God says not to.
That's right.
Right? But here, and they're like, well, what they do, they let down the bar here, so, and the next thing, something moved in, and before it's over with, they totally said that there's nothing wrong with it.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yep.
Nothing wrong with it. And in other words, that spirit is a comfort to them. That spirit is a fellowship to them. That is something that they, you know, or else they would get away from if it was terribly feeling. So there's a seducing thing to make you think it's okay.
Yep.
When
yep.
it's not, this is the way addictions are.
That's right.
Nobody ever liked taking a drag off a cigarette the first time they did it, or the second, or the third. They had to go past that poop, that coughing thing, past that sign, blow right past it, and next thing you know, they can do it and you don't cough. Right? But at first, you understand. So it becomes now a fellowship to them. They become dependent upon it. Why? Because that spirit is like, I can live what I want. I'm right out here, and I can express myself, and I can convince others, and I can grow my kingdom and whatever. And, right?
Yeah.
That's what he's doing.
Right.
And so, cutting your hair is fine. But the prophet tells us that over here in the end time, when those vials and those things, those judgment begin to pour out, he said, and I'm going to read a couple of them here. Christ is revealed in his own word, 1965, August 22nd. He says, and then when we open up those, the Lord willing, those seven vials and show these hideous things, men will be so insane after a while till they'll imagine they're seeing ants the size of mountains. They'll be tormenting women. The bee locusts come upon the earth with long hair to torment women who cut theirs off. Hair like women hanging down, and long teeth like lions, and stingers in their tails like scorpions and so forth to torment men upon the earth. But then it'll be too late to do anything about it. You get right now.
Amen.
And then knoweth it not. Now watch the spirit that follows it. There will come a time in the name of the Lord, he says, in the name of the Lord, that people will go completely insane. The Bible said so. They'll scream and holler great hideous things in their imaginary mind. The radios and things or televisions programs are producing it. There will be such things as ants to rise on the earth. They'll be as high as 14 trees. There will be a bird fly across the earth with wings 4 or 5 miles across, and people seeing them, they will scream and holler and cry for mercy. It'll be the plagues. Right? So, I'm saying this because these spirits that you feel like is giving you comfort is not your enemy.
Yep.
It's not your friend. They're your enemy.
That's right.
And the time will come when you will realize what hideous thing that was.
Yep.
Right there. In a time when it's too late.
Right.
See, these things are going on right now. This is the
right.
preparation of what's happening right now.
That's
in
right.
our day. These things are going on right now. He said the televisions are producing. I want to ask you a question. If you look at the way things was back when he was here, and you look where it is now, how did we get here? What have people been feeding on?
Right, exactly.
Right?
That's right.
We have movies of ants as high as 14 trees, probably. Right? We've seen those things are out there.
Yep.
Right? And so people are feeding on those things, and that has a spiritual influence upon you. If you're watching those things, these superhero things and hideous
yep.
creatures and monsters
yep.
and stuff like that,
yep.
I have no desire for that. I have no desire to be in a place where stuff like that is.
No, that's right.
I'm going to a place where there's nothing like that,
hey,
right?
Man.
So the right filter, you're not going to like that things. I remember years ago, I said, before giving my heart to the Lord, we loved Star Wars. Loved watching those things, right? But I gave my heart to the Lord, and sometimes, some years later, I was still camping up at Cass, and I went up there, and it had been raining, and so I couldn't set up my tent and stuff. But my brother-in-law was there, his dad, father-in-law was there, and they had a camper set up, and so it was raining, and it's going to stop raining later, and so I just go in there and with them, and I'm just going to hang out with them for a while. And I got back in there where I was kind of hemmed in because there was people, and you know how camper trailers kind of small, you know, and they were watching Star Wars, and them hideous creatures they had on. And I couldn't. I'm like, I have got to get out of here.
That's right.
What was different? What was different?
Yeah, exactly.
I got a different filter now.
Yes. Exactly.
And people with a Holy Spirit filter cannot feed on those things.
Tolerate it. Right.
You cannot. You are a dove. You cannot feed on the things of the world.
Amen.
That's preparing their minds
right.
for the yeah. judgments that they're going to. And you know, you have a prophet saying they're going insane. They're going in. What have they done?
Yeah.
They've gone insane.
Right? Exactly.
And but how did they get there? By feeding on these things, by embracing these things,
yes.
by not being
yes.
offended by these things.
Exactly.
They're just soaking it in and taking on, and their minds being more and more degraded and through all the corruption and everything.
That's
but
right.
at the same time, you got a people here who's trying to pull themselves over to a pure message, a pure word.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
Right? That's what's going on. You're in that battle.
Amen.
Right now.
Right.
Amen.
Exactly.
I need to finish here. You know, King David got anointed one time. He got anointed more than once. But in 1 Chronicles chapter 21, the Satan anointed him and caused him to number Israel. And I think we talked about that recently. You, the whole idea is, hey, God is with you. You don't need to worry about how many numbers you have. God is with you. God will always win.
That's right.
But for some reason, Satan, you know, one place another in the Kings, it said that, you know, the Lord had an issue he wanted to deal with. And so, but there it said Satan rose up and he he got David. So what I was saying, David got anointed with the wrong spirit. And that spirit said, number them. Not do something God said don't do. Number them. Go out. And he told Joab, the captain of his army, says, you go out and you do this. You number them. And the captain, his highest, you know, like a five-star general, said, why? Why do this? May whatever you have, may the Lord just bless you that much more, whatever. And yet the scripture said, however, David's word prevailed over Joab. Joab, go do it. David was underneath the spirit.
Right.
And David had to be happened to be in a place where that spirit could use his authority. Mm-hmm. Right? Because you have position in life. And that spirit can use your position, and that will affect everybody underneath you.
Yeah. Right.
So he said, hey, you go do this. And Joab's like, please, no, go do it. And the scripture said it took about 9 months and 20 days, I think is what it said. And they came back. Now watch it. David is anointed of an evil spirit.
Right.
Causing him to do something that's going to cause a lot of problems. Uh-huh. And while that's on him, he won't listen to nobody.
Yeah.
No matter how creditable these people, he wouldn't listen. Why? Because that spirit that was on him trumps the whole thing.
Yeah.
He wouldn't listen. And as soon as Joab came back and told him the number that there was in Israel, as soon as that happened, that spirit was off of him. And now David said, I've done wrong. I shouldn't have done this. Why didn't he feel that way just 2 minutes earlier before Joab came to him with that number? He had 9 months and 20 days to think it over. Why didn't he repent of that in that time and stop and call ahead and say, Joab, forget it. Don't do it. Don't do another count, another city. Why didn't he do that? Because he was underneath it. And I'm saying this because you get anointed. And while you're anointed with things that's not right, you're determined to do whatever that spirit is that is upon you. And it can be the Holy Spirit. And praise God for that. To be determined to follow the Holy Ghost. Right? You know, and so as soon as he did, that thing left him. Then he's like, oh, I've done wrong. But it was too late. Uh-huh. Now there was judgment.
Yep.
Judgment had to come. Because of what he did.
That's right.
And what he did caused judgment to fall upon everybody underneath him, Israel. And all these people were dying. There was a plague. And you understand all those things. And it finally got dealt with. So it's about to tell you that, well, if you got something wrong, you do something. No, God will have to deal with it. But there is a stopping of that judgment and bringing you back to where you should be. So when you do things wrong, it's going to cost you and it's going to cost them underneath you. But there is redemption. God can still get you. You're still a child. David was still king.
Right?
Right? This is the way God deals with sons and daughters. Mm-hmm. With children.
Right.
Because if you're not, he just lets you go do whatever you want.
Right.
And you wind up lost in the end. But with his children, he wants to correct you.
Right.
He wants the word to speak to you. And he wants you to have a contrite, humble spirit to accept it and repent and fear his word so that he can find rest in you and you can find rest in him. And in that day, you'll know that I'm in you and you're in me.
Yes.
What a glorious gospel. You know, the things that wear you out and keep you wore out, Jesus said, come to me and I'll give you rest. And the thing about it is, the very thing that gives God rest, as I said a while ago, is the thing that gives you rest.
Uh-huh.
Amen?
Right.
That you can be in him and he can be in you. Amen. Let's have the musicians come. Amen. You love him? Let's bow our hearts to him. Lord Jesus, how thankful we are, Lord, because we're allowed to sit in these heavenly places and Lord, to be washed by your word. Lord, as your word comes across, and Lord, it just washes all the filth and things off of us. If we've had a wrong thought, a wrong something that's come upon us, Lord, just to be in church and be in the presence of your word, it has a cleansing power of your word. To cleanse us and wash those things of unbelief off of us, Lord. And Lord, so that as that has happened this morning, I pray, Lord, that each one of your children and those that are streaming or will stream later, Lord, that under this influence of this washing of the word, Lord, that they would make a commitment to you now.
Yes.
Lord, they know what things have been hidden in their life. They know the places where Satan keeps fighting them and they keep losing battles. But Lord, I pray that you inspire them now to believe your word, that as a child of God, there is victory ahead. And so, Lord, I'm just asking that you would just cause each one to rise up in their faith, Lord, and know that they're sons and daughters of God. See these things in the scriptures and find their identification there and find the identification of their victory there in the scriptures. Lord, Jesus, we know that you were able to do the things you did because you knew who you were in the word. And your prophet said that when we know who we are, well, then the rapture will go. I pray, God, that each one of us begin to understand through your word who we are. Lord, that we would take our position where we know we're fortified behind your word and Satan cannot hinder. We love you, Lord. We thank you for a word that is yea and amen, in you.
Yes,
we love you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
I ask, God, that if each one's here, they just make their decision now. Commit these things. Drive a stake in the ground. If they have to do it physically, go home and drive a stake in the ground and put a tag on it. It says, this is where it stops.
Amen.
From this day forward, I am going to gain strength and beat this enemy that keeps buffeting me. We thank you, Lord. Thank you for being a healer, a savior, a keeper, a guide, a comforter, our all in all, our Jehovah Jireh, our buckler, our shield, our provider. We thank you for all those things, Lord. We confess you as being that for us. We love you. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
We love him. If anybody wants prayer, we would love to pray with you. Amen. And our right brother Daniel. Right now, if you feel inspired under the word of God that there's places you want to be higher in the Lord, then commit it to him. Amen.
Yeah.
He'll help you. Because God's not going to have a people leaving this world defeated.
Amen. Amen.